Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
We're continuing our series on the fruits of the Spirit today. The fruit of the Spirit, which is just, for me, I'm not loving just delving in, digging in a little bit deeper. We're going to go to Galatians 5 and read this. Right at the start of Galatians 5, 5 verse 1, it says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." Verse 13, it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use this freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified, they have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." I've said it before, today we're going to look at goodness. Goodness today. Hey, you awake? Just want to make sure you're awake. You know, you're like, no, we're on holidays, having a sleep. You know, it's great. Good to be there. A word, you know, goodness is a word that can be glanced over. When we read Galatians 5, it's so easy to glance over this word, dismiss it, almost just kind of like, oh yeah, it's in the same category as kindness. You know, goodness is in the same category as kindness, like we talked about last week. And it's probably fair to say that, you know, we think of goodness, we often think about good versus bad, you know, good versus evil. You know, so to be good, you're on God's side. To be bad, you're on the devil's side. Maybe we even measure good and bad things with just a compliment. Like, have you ever done something like cook a meal, takes you 7 hours, and you present it to someone, and they go, "How is it?" And they go, "It's good." And anything else? That's good. Like, not, you know, goodness in the word good can just be a bit like a bland word, can't it? It can be a bit like, yeah, it's good. Yeah, no worries. And it can just sort of be passed over as just like, yeah, something that we, you know, kind of dismiss, we pass over it. It's good. But in the scriptures, the word good actually has a richness. There is like so much more to this word good and goodness. And the essence that Paul is giving us, he wants to give us some insight into the fullness of God's character when he talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Like, he doesn't just throw in a bunch of words that sound like, oh, we should, that's like God's heart. He actually is saying it for a reason. He wants to put it in there to discuss with us that when you live by the flesh, you know, you'll produce one thing, but when you actually choose to be connected to Christ, when you live a life just pursuing Christ, other things will overflow, and goodness is one of them. Matthew 7, 6 to 20, we've talked about this whole series. "By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." I was only talking yesterday to a few people. We were talking about, can you take fruit from a park? You know, is that a legal thing? Who thinks you can pick fruit from a park? It's fine. Who thinks that's stealing? Okay, we got caught. Okay, Beck. The justice girl, right? I was only sharing yesterday. I said, when we were growing up, we went to this one park in Toowoomba as a family. And there was this one, there was a mulberry tree there. And we only went to that park for the mulberry tree. And I tell you, we harvested that thing. Like, you know, when we were kids, parents would say, "Go, kids." And we would pick every mulberry off that green one. I don't care. We ate them all, okay? And so I'm just like, hey, if a tree's there and it's producing fruit, I'm taking the fruit, right? Like, let's enjoy the fruit of the tree. So Toowoomba Council, I'm sorry if I broke the law, but we had a good time when we were kids. You know, Paul writes like about abiding in him, being connected to Jesus daily, and it will actually bring about spiritual transformation. Like, a fruit will be on display. There will be stuff that pops out of your life that people go, "Wow, that's so incredible. That's so delicious. I want to be part of that." Your life is tasty. Your life is tasty. You've got a tasty life, and I want to be around you. The psalmist writes this: "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Isn't that our hope for the church community? Like, I really hope that Beacon Church, like every person that comes to this church, if people encounter you in the community, they're like, you are a tasty treat, okay? Well, that could be a bit weird, you know? So you are a tasty snack, okay? But I hope that people kind of go, man, I've been around you. And as a result, I just feel like I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Like there's something on your life. It's lightened my day. It's made me better. And when we think of goodness, I think, as I said, it's such a bland word. Good is a bland word. You know, it's not a very descriptive word. And we can rush over it. And we can assume that if I'm a good person, I pay my taxes. And when I get on the train, even though it's only 50 cents now, I still pay for the ticket. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I pay for my tickets. I do what's good. And that's how you display goodness in your life. But I actually want to have a look at the scripture and see what God's goodness looks like. Because God's goodness is so much more when you delve into it. And we've got to look at goodness through the eyes of God. And today, I want to go right back. If you want to find goodness, just go right back to Genesis 1, okay? Right at the beginning, okay? And we're going to have a look at this. So if you've got your Bible, pull it out. Read along with me, okay? Paulie got his Bible. Good. You know, say good, okay? That's good. All right, so there you go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from water." So God made the vault, separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and he gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was what? Good. Okay, we're gonna play along this morning, all right? We're gonna keep on reading this. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees, and the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and the trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was. We all want to read, "And God saw that it was good." I really feel like we need to say that out loud to make sure we're awake. And then there was evening, and there was morning, and the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vaults of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and the days and the years. And let there be lights in the vaults of the sky to give the light on earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give the light on earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning in the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Okay, good. You are awake, all right? God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in the number, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. It keeps going and going and going. And right up to verse 31, there's a moment that says, God saw all that he made, and it was very good. The goodness of God is on display right in the first chapter of creation, right in the moment there. We actually see the fullness of God's goodness. This is before sin. There's no chaos. There's no sin. There's nothing broken. Everything is in order. I want you to picture that. The world without anything wrong. That is God's goodness. That was God's design. Before sin, everything in perfect order, everything made perfect in its purpose and positioning, and that's what it made. And God made it good, and he said it was good. You know, this is what goodness looks like when it comes to God, to see everything as it was intended to be. Like, he wants everything to be as it was intended to be, back in order, in perfect order. Today, I want to present an idea, and maybe you've never thought of this before, but as we look through scriptures, I want to see that it's God's heart for us that when we're connected to Christ through the Holy Spirit, He wants to produce goodness in our lives, returning us to the original plan that He had for our life. Like, get us back on track. Like, if you didn't know, God loves you and He has a plan for your life. And it's good. It is good. Nothing's missing in God's intention for our life. He has an intended life for us. And through the grace of God, through the grace of Jesus' death and resurrection, He allows us to return to Eden, to return back to what God always intended for our life. When we abide in Him first, when we first seek the kingdom, it says in the scripture, when we go after God first, all these things will be added. When we connect to Him, He starts to produce the goodness He always planned for our life. Romans 12:2 says this, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." You know, I think it's, you know, like deep down, when you talk to people, I think every one of us wants to know what our purpose is. Like, we want to know why we're here. What was God's plan when He brought us about? Does anyone relate to that feeling? Like, as you grow up, especially when you're a teenager and a young adult, you know, you're kind of like figuring out who you are. You're like, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? Like, am I supposed to keep flipping burgers at Macca's till I'm 92? Like, what is it that God has for me? Like, is this it? Is this everything that God has for me? I actually think it's the deepest desire in people that we find out why we're here, the reason for our existence. And today I want to say that I think finding out why you're here could be way simpler than you think. Way simpler than you think. I actually think there's nothing more satisfying than being in the will of God. Nothing more satisfying than being in the will of God. I mean, talking to teenagers now for 20 plus years in schools, they often ask, what's my purpose? Why am I here? Like, what do you think success is as? Like, what is success? Is success having lots of money? Is success having, you know, the house and the car and the, you know, the caravan and the forward? You know, like, is that success? But I actually believe that success is actually found in God. And I actually believe the most amazing thing you can do in this life is to know God and be known by Him. To be connected to Him in a way that you get to hear His voice and have clarity of mind. Like, actually know that you know that what you're doing today is what God would have you do. Like, I believe wholeheartedly, and I believe that maybe today that can be for you. In fact, at the end of this service, I'm going to give everyone an opportunity just to connect to Christ and allow God to bring about His goodness in your life. If you feel like maybe you don't know which way to go, know this, God actually wants you to succeed. Like, God wants you to succeed. How good is that word, right? Succeed. He wants you to succeed. His plans for your life are good because He is good. And the reality is, we sang it in that song, He won't stop pursuing you with His goodness, even if your life is furthest from Him. He will keep pursuing you with His goodness because He loves you and He has your best in mind. That's the God that we serve. Psalm 23 says this, a psalm of David. This is the ESV version. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In verse 5, it states, "You anoint my head with oil." Today, we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Well, an anointing of oil was a reflection and an image of the Holy Spirit. So David says, hey, I will be anointed with the Holy Spirit, and it will actually bring overflow in my life, which is the fruit produced. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David understands God's heart. And he also mentions a few things that come with goodness. Think of it like this. God's perfect plan for your life is in pursuit of you. Like, he wants you to know everything he has for you, and he goes in pursuit of you. But you know, as people, as humans, we sometimes fall off the track. Anyone ever been there? Just me, your pastor, okay? Being vulnerable today, you know, you're doing really well, and then you're off the path. Like, you go orienteering. Have you ever done orienteering before? Yeah, you know, like, you think you're on the path, and then you're in the middle of the bush, and you're like, I think this is where I'm going to die. Like, I don't know where to go. And all you want is someone to come along and be better at it than you and go, oh, it's that tree over there. All right, let's go. We can fall off the path. And so it's not just God's goodness. He goes in pursuit of us. He goes, I want you to fulfill everything I've called you to. You're born on purpose with a purpose and a plan. But with that, I'm going to give you my mercy as well. Goodness and mercy. Because God knows that we are human and we are broken. And so he's like, while I'm pursuing you with my goodness to get you to where you need to go, I'm also going to provide mercy daily to bring you back on track when you fall off. When you go off the track, I'm actually going to have grace for you, not judge you, but bring mercy and make it possible for you to get back on track, pick up yourself again and go again. Such a beautiful image of what God does for us in our life. His perfect design, call to a purpose, is following you every day. Every day. He's right there. He wants to show you which way to go. He's got a path for you. His mercy, his forgiveness is equally available to you. No far, this is the thing about the beautiful thing about Jesus and God and his design for you. There's never a point where you're too far gone that God can't bring you back. He can pick you up, put you right there, go, okay, go again. Right, go again. My nephews play slot cars a lot. Sometimes they hit a corner too hard and the car, poof, gone, right? Now, I don't go to my nephews, well, it's over, you've destroyed the game. What I do is I pick up the car and put it back on the track. That's what God does to us. Sometimes we go hard and fast and we miss it. But the goodness of God, the mercy of God, he's like, hey, I'm done dealing with you yet. Let me pick you up, put you back on, keep going, keep going. In Lamentations 3, 18 to 25, we don't often quote Lamentations because it's quite it can be a bit depressing, to be honest. People going through pain, Lamentations. But the writer of Lamentations, he actually talks about his own failings and his struggles. He says, just remember my afflictions and my wanderings off the track and wormwood of the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, for the soul that seeks him. God's goodness is available and is experienced by those who wait and seek him. His goodness. Little side note for the youth. I love to just point this out. Notice there's a little statement in there that says, it is good for a man that he bears the yoke in his youth. You're like, what? He bears an egg yoke? What? You know what I mean? Like, What? How does the egg? There's a yoke, an oxen. The oxen had a yoke that gets strapped to their head. They'd be in the field, right? And these oxen would move together and plow the field. And what he's saying is allow God to put a yoke on you so you're connected to God from a young age. Why? Because that yoke is going to take you alongside him where he wants to go. He's like, do it young so you don't miss the call on your life. Allow God to connect with you from a young age. Instead of you going, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, you go, Jesus, connect to me. I just want to do what you want to do. And you will not miss the call on your life because God's goodness and kindness, his mercy will be with you every day, okay? Hey, that's for all of us as well. You can go, I'm a young person. I'm young, young at heart. Allow God to connect and guide you. When you have the goodness of God in your life, there is no FOMO. There's no fear of missing out. Like you're not going to go, oh, but if I really want to do that, I'm going to miss out on all the fun in this world. God's like, hey, not only will you not miss out, you are going to be exactly in my purpose and plan, and my plans are good, and you will never miss out on anything. I'm going to bless your life. because I am part of it. The reality is, though, sometimes we go, oh, I don't know if I want to give my life to God. I don't know if I actually want to give him all of it. I actually don't want to be yoked to anything. I want to do my thing. But Jesus really makes it plain that this is important. In John 10, 9 to 11, it says, I am the gate. Other versions say, I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Though they will come in and go out and find pasture. In other words, their life will be provided for. They will be safe. They'll be in a position where they're protected. I want to do that for you if you come through me. And it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Life had to the full is God's goodness, the way it was always intended. Those who choose to follow God's ways, when we trust his word, when we actually are not just observers of the word like we talked about a few weeks ago, but doers of the word, the goodness of God, the fruit of the Spirit will start to be produced in our life. Like it is just the natural overflow. Man, I'm connected to Christ. I'm doing it his ways. And all of a sudden, the goodness of God just starts to flow. The goodness of God starts to flow. Not hearers, but doers. His goodness will be produced. We will be able to test and approve what God's will is for our lives, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Psalm 37 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Very easy to read that and go, trust in the Lord. Yeah, I trust God and I do good. I'm a good person. I'm out there being good everywhere I go. But this is not what the psalmist is writing. He's not saying just be a good person and trust in God, just be a good person. He's saying, no, trust in the Lord and do good. Connect to God's goodness. Do as he would do. If you're totally connected to Christ, by the way, he actually changes your heart's desires. Because I've heard this preach, you know, it's kind of very easy. If you do good and you trust in God, he will give you the desires of your heart. Yes, I'm going to be rich. Yes, that sexy girl's going to be mine. Yes, I'm going to have it all because I trust in the Lord and I'm a good person. No, what he's saying is trust in the Lord and do good. In other words, trust in the Lord and do things as God always intended and his perfect will, surrendering to Christ. And as a result, he will change your heart like him and he will bring about those desires he placed in your heart that are good. The scripture makes it clear, but I think that the natural inkling for us when it comes to God's goodness is we have a rebellious spirit that goes, I'm going to find a loophole somewhere. You know, like, let me just do this. And I know it's probably not godly. I know maybe it's wrong, but I am a good person, but I'm also going to choose to do this because that is going to be my choice. And I am in control of my life. And I will do whatever the heck you want. Well, whatever I want, sorry. You're all very quiet. It doesn't relate to you, I understand. You're all perfect, and that's why I pastor you. So it's great. God's heart is that our heart would desire to be good. Like, would desire to actually want to know his ways, to not have a rebellious heart that just constantly, when you tell someone to do something, they do the opposite. Ever gone shopping with a small child? Do not touch something. They touch everything. It's like there's a natural inkling, like, I can't do it, watch me. Watch me as I just do the opposite because there's this stirring. You can't tell me what to do. God doesn't want to be someone that's like knocking, you know, whipping you, do good. He's like, I want you just to know me, connected to me, and as an overflow, good will just happen. Matthew 5:48 says this, be perfect, therefore, as my heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus says this. Display his goodness, he's saying. If you're thinking right now, what Jesus calls us to be perfect, and you're thinking, I'm out, tap me out, I'm done, I'm just going to go out now and I'm never coming back to your church because they said you need to be perfect. Anyone feel that? Feel a bit of weightiness to the perfection thing? I mean, I'm nowhere near close to perfect. Like, it's actually impossible. And when Jesus says this to his disciples, they said it's impossible too. They're like, literally like, are you kidding me? How do we be perfect? Like, Jesus, like, I know some of your teaching's hard, but now you're saying we have to be perfect? The story is found in Matthew 19, 16 to 26. It's the story of the rich young ruler. You know the moment that a rich young ruler comes to him and he says these words, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" And Jesus responds, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. God's the only one that's good. He is perfect goodness." And then further down in the verses, we see that he asks them, "Well, you know, you're saying you're good. Which ones do you do?" And Jesus replies, "If you want to be good, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony." He just gives them the Ten Commandments, right? He said, "Hey, if you want to be good, like these are the things." And this man goes, "Yeah, I'm doing all of that." And then he goes, "Well, go sell all your possessions, give to the poor." And this man goes away sad. And Jesus challenges him, and it says, "When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, 'Who then can be saved?'" Like, you're asking for perfection. Who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Jesus points out, without God, it's impossible, but with the Holy Spirit, when living by the Spirit, he can actually produce goodness like God in your life. Like, you can't do it yourself. I cannot be a good person without the help of the Holy Spirit. It actually puts us all on the same playing field when it comes to goodness. Now, it's interesting when people read this, we think, is Jesus saying, "Hey, everyone go sell your possessions to the poor and give it to the poor," and that we all have to do that. Jesus actually just addresses the rich young ruler because he knows what has his heart. And for each and every one of us in the room, God knows what has your heart. And he's like, "If you want to be good, I just want to remove that thing." He'll call you to something different. He'd probably say something different to you because he knows your heart. And what he's trying to say is, "I want you to go all in for me and let go of the things that you're actually making God in your life. Follow me. It's possible with the Holy Spirit. It's impossible for man, but with God, all things are possible." You know, last week we looked at kindness. We realized that God's Holy Spirit actually changes the heart. God is in the business of transformation. And when we have the space of living life with an overflow of God's goodness, our hearts desire to just do God's will. Someone got a text. Every good thing, everything that God intended, things that are good, he will give us. When it comes to the supernatural overflow that is the fruit of the Spirit of goodness, it can only happen when we're connected to Christ. The Holy Spirit will transform our hearts and our minds to be more like Christ. If we want to be close to him, we have to go in pursuit of him. You know, it's so interesting. This week I saw, you know, it's funny when you scroll through Instagram and stuff. There was just this preacher who goes, "Hey, if your faith is just Sunday for an hour, God's a hobby. He's not your Lord." I thought, "Oh, hello, uppercut." But it's true, isn't it? We have to be people that want to be connected to Christ on a daily. Like, we're not like connect, disconnect, you know? Like, we're not just like, "Well, I'm connected on Sunday. I'm connected at men's prayer on Tuesday. I'm connected in the prayer room." But we're actually people that want to abide in him and rest in him daily so he can bring about goodness in our life. And for some of you in the room right now, when you hear about the Spirit of God and what he can make alive in you, there's an agitation within your spirit, almost a frustration right now. And there's an anger within you because you don't want to hear that God's calling you to full surrender. Like, there's just something within you. There's that aggravated idea. There's that rebellious spirit, which we've all got. It talks about it. We're either living by the flesh or by the Spirit. And there's going to be this war within us to go, "Am I really going to repent and leave that life behind, choose God's way, be yoked to him, follow him, allow God to transform my heart? Am I going to go and live a life that is displaying God's goodness?" And this is not a new wrestle, by the way. Like, the early church had the same struggle. And faith is a hard thing sometimes. It's like, do I actually trust there is a God out there? Like, just think of that for a moment. The idea of a living God, a spirit that is moving and active. For some of you, it's hard. You know, faith is one of those things like, is it possible that God knows all and that my actions matter? Or is it just this idea, this sort of thing that makes me feel warm and fuzzy for an hour on Sunday? Do I really trust him? Do I really believe the Holy Spirit is speaking through the Word? Is the Word really the sword of the Spirit? Is it really doing something in my life? Is it transforming me? The early churches, I said, struggled with the same thing. Paul had to address it to them. He's like, hey, in 1 Corinthians 2:12 to 16, it says, what we have received is not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. He's saying, hey, the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us his free gift of salvation. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept these things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they have discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not just subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. He's like, hey, those that know the spiritual truth have received the Spirit, who have the revelation of the Spirit of God. There is actually something more for us to understand. There's a weightiness there. But there's an amazing statement that says, but we have the mind of Christ. The transforming power of the Holy Spirit is not just our hearts, but it's our mind as well. That we walk daily and our mind thinks like Christ. Like we actually think like Christ when we achieve and do anything in this life. Our thoughts are, what would Jesus do? Like the old band. Like how do I function in a way that Christ would function in God's goodness, fully good. Fully good. There's actually an accountability to those who know the truth. Like we actually have to ask ourselves, do I want God to produce goodness in my life? If I want to choose him, I have to surrender my entire life. And maybe you're here today going, I don't know if I want to surrender to God because really it sounds like a bunch of rules and regulation. I want to be free. I want to do what I want to do. I want to run where I want to run. I want to be my own person. And now you're saying I've got to be like God and good like God and perfect like God. How do I do that? Hey, once again, that's not a new question. Jesus gets bailed up by the religious leaders because they've got 600 plus rules they're trying to keep to be perfect. And Jesus is like, hey, just so you know, because they're like, well, which one's the best? What's the greatest rule? What have you got for us? How do we possibly live perfect for you under this religious law? This is so hard. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Actually not too hard when we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Like, it's an overflow from that place of love. When we genuinely surrender and go, God, I choose to have a mind of Christ, and I'm going to love you with all my heart. So everything within me, my heart, the thing that's pumping, that innermost being of me loves you. My mind, the things I think of things that you think of. I actually want to have a mind of Christ. I'm not thinking about what others are thinking of. I'm going to think like you think on a daily. And I love you with my mind. And I love you with my soul. My spirit has chosen to surrender to you. My soul, my innermost being, the spiritual element of my life has actually got to a point where it's not about me anymore. I know there's a war within me against flesh and spirit, and I choose daily to choose the things of the Spirit. And when you do that, the overflow is actually just to do things God's way. We return to the intent that God always had for us. You know, think about in the Old Testament when the Israelites are in the desert, they're trying to figure out how to be good effectively. What is good? So God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses. It's like, hey, this is my heart. This is how I function. So be like me. And all of those things he puts in place are to protect the people, to make the people blessed, to see them fulfill the promised land, to be able to know God and be known by God. Some choose to follow those things, some choose not to. But this is the interesting thing. Jesus talks about it when he's ministry. He says, I didn't come here to demolish the law. I didn't come here to just go, hey, that stuff doesn't matter anymore. He's like, I came to fulfill it and give a way that's possible for you to achieve my goodness while you live. but you will never be able to do it unless you're connected to me. It is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and His help that allows us to return to Eden, to go back to a world which God designed for your life. If you're here struggling, I don't know what my purpose is, go all in with Jesus and He'll show you. He'll open every door. You can rest in that. To abide in Him is to rest in the fact that I know that God knows more than me, and His goodness will flow from who we are. People will see in your life you are different. You won't have to struggle not to lie because you just want to speak the truth. You have the mind of Christ. You know, you won't have to go into a place of, oh, I have to be good. It's just like, I'm all in for Jesus. And my life just displays that. His goodness. Can I say, if you have a heart that is constantly at struggle with doing what's right, surrender to Jesus. Jesus, I am not God of my life. I give it to you because your ways are better than my ways. Your goodness. I want to know what you had in plan, the plan for my life. I want to, can I just tell you, church, whenever it is my time to go, and I'm hoping it's maybe like 99 or 100, and I would love to die old, you know. I'd love to be able to look back over my life and go, I fulfilled everything that God had for my life. I didn't miss a thing. It wasn't easy, but I decided to let Jesus take the wheel. And as a result, my kids, my grandkids, if that's the thing, my family, every person I came into contact was blessed because I was in their world, not because of something I did, because the goodness of God overflowed and touched them. Oh, anyone else want that? Oh, man. Oh, man. The reality is, though, we can go for a period of time where we see God's goodness in our life and we can fall off the tracks. And we can wake up and we go, I don't know where I am. How'd I get here? But even in your lost space, His goodness is right there going, hey, I'm in pursuit of you. I'm in pursuit of you. Come back. Come back. Right next to it, His mercies are new every morning. They're like, it's okay. I forgive you. I want to set you back on your path. All it requires is for us to respond and say, Jesus, I repent. My heart wants to pursue the things of you. I want your goodness in my life. I want to live a life where your goodness is overflowing. The fruit of goodness is everywhere I go. Would you forgive me? Put me back on track. And in a moment, through His mercy, He puts us right where we need to be. Ever wonder why it's called the good news? It's the good news, the gospel. Jesus' message is good news. Why is it good? Because we do not deserve God's love. But He loves us anyway. We did not deserve His death, His resurrection, but He loves us anyway, and He did it. Why? Because He wanted us to know His goodness. He wanted us to know what it was like before sin. He wanted us to return to Eden, to be in perfect alignment with God the Father. And through Jesus' blood, not because of what we did, He makes it possible. We did communion before. We remembered what He made possible. I want us to bow our heads right now. God's goodness is chasing after you. He's like, come back. I have a better way for you. My plan for your life from the very first moment, the first breath, before you were born, while you were in your mother's womb, I knew what I had for you. Do you want to know what that is? Trust me. Trust me. Surrender. Don't fight it any longer. Just say, Jesus, I accept that free gift. Put me back on track. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness and your kindness. I choose to follow your ways and not be God of my life anymore.
I let go of that rebellious spirit within me that fights the way that you want to do things. I just want to be like you, Jesus. If that's you today, you just want to get back on track. He loves you. His goodness is there. His mercies are there. This is not condemnation. He's just like, allow me to show you my goodness and kindness again. Receive it. I love you. 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 But God, I'm so far gone. I love you. It's not too hard. But God, you don't know what I'm going through. It seems so lost. Everything's broken. Everything's blown up. I can fix it. I can restore it. That's the business that I'm in. Allow me to put my yoke upon you. I will show you which way to go. Just accept it. It's a free gift. My burden, my yoke is light, the scripture says. This is not a burden. This is something that will bring you freedom. That's what the Holy Spirit's all about. For freedom, He wants to set you free. If you want me to pray for you, just to say, God, I want to come back. Put me back on track. If you want that prayer, let me stand with you and pray for you this morning. Just raise your hand wherever you are. I want to see who I'm praying for. Just, yeah, across, yeah, great. Yeah, hold up high because it's a declaration. Jesus, I need you. Yes, on the right-hand side, so many hands. There's more here. Yes, in the middle there, at the back there. I need you, Jesus. I want to see that goodness in my life. God, I thank you. For your goodness and your kindness. I thank you that you are running after us daily. Your mercies are new every morning. Your grace is sufficient. Your plan is perfect. And God, we trust that plan and we ask you to show us which way to go. Hold us in your hands. May we produce the goodness of the Spirit of God in our lives. May others be able to taste and see that the Lord is good because you are the one that drives our life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.